chapter number 10. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Good Wednesday night, crowd. Appreciate your presence. Congratulations on doing what you ought to do, and that's be in God's house unless providentially hindered. John chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I want to begin a message tonight. I have no idea how long it's going to take me. Not all tonight, amen. But we'll go as far as we can get tonight. We'll pick it up maybe Sunday night. I'm not sure. That's in the Lord's hands. But I'm going to give you a message entitled Sheep. Simply Sheep. This is proceeding in our series on the names of Christians. And whether you realize it or not, I've got three series going on in our church at one time. I've got a series in Joshua, a series in James, and a series right here, I call it my topical series, on the names of Christians. And we pick up with another name of Christians here, the name of sheep. Let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you help me to teach with power, help me to preach with power and unction from on high. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my own heart in the study. And I pray that you manifest it forth, Lord, through the words that you preach. I pray that you'll preach through me. And help this to be an encouraging time, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, within the pages of God's holy word, he's given his children a list of different names by which we're called. And as we consider these names, we can see some great truths brought out about who and what a child of God is. At the same time, we can also see how great our God is and how good he is to his children. Now here in John chapter 10, we have another name given for his children. He calls us sheep. And let me say here that sheep come in different sizes, come in different shapes, and come in different colors. They can have fine wool, medium wool, long wool, or carpet wool. And it's been said that there are more breeds of sheep in God's, more breeds of sheep than any other species. And I want to say this to you, it's the same way in God's family. God's sheep come in different sizes, come in different shapes, and come in different colors, but we're all part of the same fold. Because when Jesus Christ is accepted into a person's heart, they confess their sin to him and ask him to come in to be their Lord and Savior, he makes them one of his sheep. And I'm glad that no matter what the skin color is, it makes no difference to God. He died for black, white, yellow, red, whatever the case may be. Sheep come in different colors, different sizes, different shapes. That's why it is ridiculous that people are still struggling with racism around the world. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, it's just a privilege to be called a sheep in God's family. Now, there's two major thoughts I'm going to give you, but good night, I've got about 4,000 thoughts underneath those two thoughts. So we're just going to get started tonight about sheep. And think about sheep as God's family. If you are in the family of God, you are a sheep. And may I say, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a sheep in God's family. Now, two things to understand about sheep. All we're going to do is get started tonight. Number one, sheep have a nature. Sheep have a nature. Now, here's what I mean by that. Stay with me. You know, the Lord could have compared his people to anything in the world. He really could have. He could have said, my people are like bears because they're so strong. He could have said, my people are like lions because they're courageous, they're fearless, and they're brave. He could have said, my people are like foxes because they're so shrewd and so wise. He could have even said, my people are like doves because they're so peaceful and so meek. But he didn't do that. He said, my people are like sheep. And let me tell you something, there's a reason for that. Nothing's incidental in God's word. And let me say something to you. There's a reason he calls his people sheep. And I want to submit to you that one reason he calls us sheep is because of the nature of sheep. What are they like? What's their characteristics, if you will? Now, there's many of them, but I'm just going to give you three of them. Number one, the first thing that summarizes the nature of sheep, number one, they are helpless. Say it with me. They are helpless. What's that mean? That means they're helpless. They absolutely cannot make it on their own. They are unable to make it on their own. And if you see a sheep, now listen to me please, if you see a sheep on its back, it's called being cast. And if you see a sheep on its back, it will eventually die in that position because it cannot get back up. It's completely helpless. They cannot provide for themselves and they cannot protect themselves. And in the same way, we in our flesh are completely helpless without Jesus Christ. We can't provide for ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We cannot make it on our own. The Bible says in John 15:5, Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. What's that mean? It means ye can do nothing without Jesus Christ. That's what it means. We can't make it without him. Now, it's time that we get in our thick skulls tonight that he does not need us. We need him. Amen. We need God. The nature of a sheep, first of all, they're helpless. The Bible says in Psalm 33:20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Let me ask you a question. Are you proving by your life that you know you're a sheep? Let me ask it again. Are you proving by your life that you are, if you're in the family of God, a sheep? Here's what I'm asking. Do you know that you can't make it without Jesus Christ? Now, before you answer that, how are you living your life? Are you reading the Bible every day? If you're not, you do not realize you're helpless. Because you have to have God's word to make it in this spiritual life. If you're not praying, you don't realize you're helpless. By the way, this goes for me too. All I'm saying to you, the first thing about the nature of sheep is that sheep are helpless. They need the shepherd. They need the shepherd. Their nature, number one, they're helpless. Number two, not only they're helpless, but number two, they have a tendency to stray. It's been said, and it's interesting to note the fact that sheep, even though they're helpless, they have a tendency to stray away from their one source of help, and that is straying away from the shepherd. You know, they cannot make it on their own, but many, many times they put themselves in a lonely place. That's what sheep do. They have a tendency to leave the fold, leave the shepherd, which is where their safety and comfort is, and they go out into the world somewhere, realizing that when they're out in the world, they are more vulnerable for an attack by the predators. And let me say this to you tonight. For Isaiah 53:6, before we condemn literal sheep, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know, just like sheep, we all have a tendency to wander off in our own direction, not realizing that we are making ourselves more vulnerable for an attack by the devil. You know, it's interesting that the sheep have many, many, many predators. One of them being a lion. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And may I say something to you? I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm going to be repeating myself a lot in this.
Here's the fact of the matter. The sheep are safe when they're with the shepherd. But when they stray away from the shepherd, they are making themselves an open target for the devil and for their predators. It's the same way spiritually. When you stray away from the shepherd of your soul, you are inviting the lion to attack you. And that's what Christians are doing all over the world. That's why there's Christian casualties all over the world. That's why there are Christians who are bleeding to death spiritually, because they have strayed away from the shepherd, and because of that, they are now vulnerable for an attack by the predator. We're looking at the nature of the sheep tonight. Number one, they're helpless. They cannot make it on their own. In the same way, I'm helpless without Jesus Christ, and so are you. Number two, sheep have a tendency to stray, and so do you. It's called your flesh. And no doubt in my mind, every one of us have dealt with it today. There are things that God wants us to do this way, and our flesh says, no, I want to go that way. That's straying. And when you stray away from the shepherd, the lion's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know who he's looking for first? He's not looking for the fold. He's looking for the one lost sheep away from the fold, because there is an easy target. Then number three, the third thing about their nature. I'm going to get as far as I can in this. I'll be honest, I've been having a time in my study. I finished this today. I've been having a time in my study with this, thinking about how good God's been to us. I mean, God's trying to show us something about ourselves. He's saying, Jody, you're a sheep. Now, thank God I'm a sheep, not a goat. Amen. But he's saying you're a sheep because you're helpless. You need me. You're a sheep. Don't ever trust yourself. Stay close to me because you have a tendency to stray. Then number three, boy, I like this. I didn't know this about sheep, but here's the third thing about their nature. Number three, they're safer in a group. Did you hear what I just said? They are safer in a group. You know, sheep have many natural predators: coyotes, wolves, foxes, bears, dogs, eagles, bobcats, mountain lions, etc., etc. And they're vulnerable to predators because they are basically defenseless and have no means of protecting themselves outside of the shepherd, you understand? And sometimes when things frighten them, they run, they scatter. And when they scatter, they're going to be taken down. But if they stay together, more than likely, they'll be safe. Now, you know what I'm getting ready to say here, don't you? Here, now listen to me. Somebody said it's this flocking behavior that provides their best defense against their predators. In other words, if they just stay together, if they just unify, it's harder for the predators to start picking them off, because they're together. They're not out by themselves, bleeding and all these kind of things and calling out and attracting attention. No, they stay together. They stay unified. And because of that, yes, they're still susceptible, but not as much, because they're in a group. Now, in the same way, stay with me here, in the same way, we are made in such a way that God has put us together that we need fellowship with each other. We need fellowship with each other. There is safety in numbers. There really is. We should not allow our predators to scatter us away from the fold of God's family. So many things today people get upset about, and they'll leave the church. Oh, she looked at me cross-eyed. I'm going to another church. Oh, good night. Did you hear what he said? He must have meant this. I'm leaving the church. You know what that is? That's the predator. And he's trying his best to get you away from the fold, because he knows if he can get you away from the fold, he'll get you. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. In other words, we should be... Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, tonight. God bless you for your attendance. I'm trying to encourage you that you need to keep doing what you're doing tonight. And that is, every time God's people get together in a flock, you ought to be right in the middle of it. Because you need it. You need fellowship one with another. I'll be honest with you. This world can take its toll on you. There's no doubt about it. And when you come to God's house, you get around like-minded people, I hope. Like-minded people, and it's like a breath of fresh air. Whew, man, this feels great. I don't have to worry about the language. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that. It's great to be with God's people. That's one reason you ought to be faithful in every service of the church. You need fellowship with God's people. God has made us like sheep, and they're safer in a group. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, hold your place here and flip over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, you're in John. Flip over to 1 John chapter 1. Now, whether you realize it or not, you are made in such a way that you need fellowship with other sheep. God's made you that way. If you're a Christian, He did not make you to be a loner. He made you to be in a flock. He wants you, it's called the local church. And thank God for the local church tonight. This is a local, independent, Baptist church without apology. And one reason we are here is because this is God's fold, so to speak. And every now and then, the lion will try to call out to you, try to gig you, because he's after you, see? You know what people don't realize when they get upset and they leave the church and they drop out on God and everything else? You know what they don't realize? They're condemning themselves. They're not hurting the church, per se. It always hurts to lose people, but they're not hurting the church, they're hurting themselves. Because they're a sheep. And lions love the meat of sheep. And the devil wants to eat them up. And if he can get you away from the fold, he can get you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now notice this. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that's a powerful portion of Scripture. And what He's saying here is this. God give us a church like this. He's saying, listen, everything we've heard and seen, we are telling to you because we want you in on it. We want you in on this fellowship. By the way, what fellowship? The fellowship between them and Jesus Christ. And that fellowship is so good that they're encouraging others, come join us, come join us, come join us. You know what that is? What you're here tonight for. You're talking about a preacher who's not much, I know that, but listen, God's been pouring over my soul. And you know what I'm doing tonight? That which I've heard and seen with my eyes, I'm declaring unto you. Why? So you can have fellowship with me. Just like I'm fellowshipping with Jesus, I want you to get on it. That's the local church. May I say something to you? We need that. We need that. I don't. Okay. Try it without it. We'll never hear from you again. Because the predators are roaming. And they're wanting you. And they're trying to get you away from the fold. Number one, the sheep's nature. By the way, somebody said, come to Sunday to church on Sunday morning and see how popular the preacher is. Come back on Sunday night and see how popular the church is. Come back on Wednesday night and see how popular Christ is. Amen. And again, I congratulate you for being here. This is the right thing to do. You know what I've noticed? And I just have a slight feeling that this is going to be true. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, I don't think anybody's going to be ashamed that they were in God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Do you? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, I ask people this. I ask them this. In a message that I preach, I've only preached it one time, and I haven't preached it to an audience yet, I don't think. Maybe I have. Maybe my Sunday school class. But I went up in the balcony, I put this together, on why be in church every time the doors open. And here's one thing. Now, there's several thoughts, but here's just one thing. In that message, I asked this question. If you're not coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, Could you look God right in the face and say, this is why I'm not going, this is why I'm not going tonight? Would he look you back in the face and say, I agree with you. You're right. I understand. Now, if he wouldn't do that, then they're sinning. That's sin. Because we're to do what Jesus would do. Let me ask you a question. Is going to church a good thing? Is it? What's the book of James say? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Whammo. Now all I'm saying to you tonight, we're just like sheep. We're just like them. No wonder Jesus named us sheep. We're helpless. We have a tendency to stray. We're safer in a group. That's their nature. Then number two, and under this I've got letters A to J. So listen, we're not going to get all the way through it, okay? You'll catch it by freight in a minute. I'm telling you the truth. It's letters A to J. I'm not kidding. Second thing I want to show you about sheep, not only their nature, but number two, sheep have a need. They have a need. Now, considering the nature of the sheep and how they are helpless, have a tendency to stray, and are safer in a group, this leads us to our next point to consider, which is the sheep have a need. Now, no doubt, if I were to ask what the need of the sheep is, there may be many different answers. I mean, there's no telling what kind of answers I'd get, but let me say loud and clear here that I said the sheep have a need, not needs. They have one. It's just one need. And that need is the shepherd. That's it. That's it. Everything they need is wrapped up in him. Now, do they have other needs? I'm talking about, do they need water? Do they need food? Do they? Yes. But who provides that? The shepherd does. You understand? So every need that they had is wrapped up in their one need, and that's the shepherd. He's the one that takes care of them. They cannot make it on their own. They need the shepherd, and in the same way, we as God's children have one major need. And that need is not money, that need is not sustenance, that need is not clothing, that need is not even fellowship, that need is God. We have to have God. We need Jesus Christ. We need him, every one of us. And let me say this to you. It's interesting to note the fact that our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. And when we think of him, we think of biblical language, because in John 10:11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. Yet in Hebrews 13:20, he's notified as the great shepherd. And yet in 1 Peter 5:4, he's known as the chief shepherd. And may I say, if you know the shepherd, bless your heart. Amen. You know, it's interesting to realize that depending on who the shepherd was, just depending on what kind of shepherd sheep had, determined whether the sheep would strive or struggle. Sheep require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and care. I mean, more than any other class of livestock, they have to be cared for, they have to have attention drawn to them, and they have to be cared for. And depending on what kind of shepherd was over them, made up or determined what kind of life they lived. If they were healthy, that spoke good of the shepherd. If they were frail, it spoke bad of the shepherd. And thank God, we've got the greatest shepherd of all. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want to give you some things, and right here is where we're not going to get finished, okay? Well, we've already noticed the nature of the sheep. Now it's the need of the sheep. We've established the need is the shepherd. Our shepherd is Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Why? Why? Now, we're going to be going back and forth a little bit between John 10 and Psalm 23, because in those phrases in Psalm 23, it is packed full of things. And all I want to do is lift up the shepherd. That's what I want to do. This is not about lifting the sheep up. It's just a privilege to be in the family. Amen? It's a privilege to be a sheep. But let's lift up our shepherd. He's our need. Everything that we have is attributed to him. Everything we need to keep going, he provides. So let's look at him. It'll take us a while to get through with him. Really, you'll never get through with him. Maybe that's why eternity rolls on forever, because God is infinite and you never can get to the bottom of him. You never can get to the end of him. You think you got him figured out, and lo and behold, there he is again. Good night. What in the world was that? That's Jesus. Thank God for him. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching tonight. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God he's been good to us. He's been great to us. And let's look at him as our shepherd. What's he do for the sheep? Number one. I'm getting excited about this, Brother Bob. Number one, he owns the sheep. He owns the sheep. Look at chapter 10 of John and verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now flip over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Hold your place in John 10 now, because we'll be flipping back and forth here. Look at Psalm 23 in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Now, a sheep is the object of property whose owner sets great store by. In other words, the price is often great. I'm talking about literally buying physical sheep. The price is often great. The shepherd pays for the sheep. And many times he pays a lot for them. And when he pays for them, he owns them. Now in the same way tonight, our good, great, and chief shepherd paid the highest price of all. When he came to this earth, he lived a perfect, sinless life. You say you believe it? Every word of it. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He did not have to, but he chose to. And he died and he shed his precious blood to pay for his sheep. For his sheep. See, now listen to me, please. The type of life the sheep have. I'm talking about physical sheep. I'm relating this to spiritual sheep. The type of life a sheep have depends on their owner. Under a bad owner, sheep would struggle, starve, and suffer. While under another owner, they would flourish and thrive. In our case, we have the greatest owner of all. Now stay with me here. And just as shepherds, listen to this. Just as shepherds sometimes take a knife, sometimes a shepherd would take a knife and they would mark their sheep. They would cut something out of its ear, somehow mark their sheep. Even so, we have been marked by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And may I say this to you? We belong to him. He owns the sheep. He bought the sheep. He owns the sheep. And because of that, we ought to do everything he tells us to do. Because we wouldn't even be in the fold if it wasn't for him. Amen. Psalm 95:7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You know what he's saying? What you're eating, the pasture, what's keeping you going, it's mine. It's mine. We are his people. That's a privilege tonight. I mean, it's a privilege to say, God owns me. Amen. I mean, he's my master. He owns the sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's saying, I own it all is what he's saying. And you're my sheep. And I'm letting you in my pasture, and I'm letting you graze, and I'm letting you roam, and I'm watching you. Thank God for that. That's exciting tonight, folks. Think about our great shepherd. Number one, he owns the sheep. Number two, this is as far as I'll get, I'm sure. But number two, he knows the sheep. I like that. Flip over to John chapter 10 with me, please. John chapter 10 and verse number 3. To him the porter openeth,
and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now stay with me here. This is probably as far as I'm going to get. I'm getting blessed tonight. I'm serious. I'm a sheep. This is me. He owns me. He knows me. Now listen to this. The individual sheep in a flock all look alike to the untrained eye. Now stay with me. A good shepherd, however, can tell them apart. Often because of their defects and their peculiar traits. You know, a man who was once... who was tending a large flock explained this to a Christian friend who expressed surprise at his familiarity with each animal. In other words, here's a shepherd, and he was trying to explain what this, he knows the sheep. He's trying to explain to this Christian what that phrase means. And here's what the shepherd did. He said, see that sheep over there? Now to the Christian, they all looked alike. But to the shepherd, he said, see that sheep over there? He said, notice how its toe... It says, notice how its toes are in a little bit. The one behind it has a squint. The next one has a patch of wool off its back. Ahead is one of the distinguishing black marks. While the one closest to us has a small piece torn out of its ear. In other words, he is saying, see that one? That one's got a black mark. See that one? He's got a piece out of his ear. See that one? He's a little bit different. You know, one of his toes are lagging behind. Now, folks, this is blessing me here because it tells me he knows every single detail about my life. Every single detail. Observing all of them, the believer thought about Jesus Christ. As he was standing there, he thought about Jesus Christ, who always knows the individual weaknesses and failings of his flock and watches over his members with discerning love and sympathetic understanding. With infinite concern, he notes the doubts and the fears and the trials and the conflicts and the defeats that disturb their peace, and yet he swiftly comes to their aid. I'm talking about he knows your strength, he knows your weaknesses, he knows your joys and your burdens, he knows your mountains and your valleys, he knows your victories and your defeats. He knows every single thing about his sheep. Everything he knows about them. And what proves it is Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now what's the importance of that? I've told you this before, but that verse does not say the very hairs of your head are counted. He says the very hairs of your head are numbered. What's the difference? Say that I went down right here to Anthony, and I reached down and I grabbed one hair and I pulled it out of his head. If he had his hairs counted, he would know how many are left. But if he has his hairs numbered, he knows what number of hair I pulled out. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If he is so concerned about how many hairs are on your head, now I'm refraining right there, folks, okay? You understand? I'm refraining. Because things come home to roost. By the way, my wife got me great for April Fool's today. If you want some details, come see me later, because I will not tell you from the pulpit. But what's the point I'm trying to say to you? Here's the point I'm trying to say. He knows everything about you. There is absolutely nothing he doesn't know. By the way, that works both ways. It should encourage you if you're going through a valley and you think nobody cares. He knows everything about it. And he's in that valley with you. However, if you're straying away from him, he knows all about that too. But ultimately, you know what the greatest thing is about he knows his sheep? What's the one thing he's going to tell people at the great white throne? Depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire. I never knew you. It's a blessing when the shepherd knows you, isn't it? That means you're one of his. And he knows every weakness. He knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows every strength. He knows every trial. He knows everything about you. He studies you as if you are the only one in his fold. He knows everything about you.
That's kind of scary, isn't it? It's a blessing. At the same time, it should motivate us to say, wait a minute. I better stay close to him because he's been so good to me. Boy, I wish I had 6 weeks to preach this right now. I want to go further in this. What time is it? I can't go any further. And everybody said, amen, right? We're looking at sheep. Looking at sheep. Sheep have a nature. They're helpless. So are we. So are we. They're safer in a group. So are we. There's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. They have a tendency to stray. So do we. Sometimes we think we can make it on our own. And all that manifests itself that sheep not only have a nature, but sheep have a need. And all of their many needs are summarized in one major need. And that's the shepherd. And the shepherd of the sheep is Jesus Christ. Wonderful thought. And in that we're looking at him. Why is he so good? Why is he so great? Why is he the chief? Well, number one, because he owns us. Number two, because he knows us. We'll pick up there whenever the Lord lets me pick up, okay? Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this great thought of sheep. And what an exalted thought it is. What a blessing to be able to be called a sheep in the family of God. Now, we don't normally do this. Now, I'm not going to have anybody come to the instruments or anything like that. But I want to ask you just a couple of questions. Is there somebody here tonight? Because I don't want to ever be guilty of overlooking this. Is there somebody here tonight say, Jody, I'm not even sure I'm a sheep. You know, the Bible says that there's coming a day when he's going to set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. You know, you're either a sheep or a goat. And I wonder tonight, are you a sheep? Is there somebody possibly who came in our midst tonight and you say, Jody, I'm concerned that I may not even be a sheep. I may not even be in the family. But I don't want to miss out on this great shepherd you're talking about. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? We're not going to come to your seat, won't call you out, not embarrass you. But if that's you, you know, it's as simple as realizing that you're lost, that Jesus Christ has bled and died for you, and you must confess your sins to him. Ask him to come into your heart and life and trust him and him alone as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you as a sheep. Maybe you're going through a trial, a hard time, and you realize that it's encouraging to know that your shepherd knows all about it. He knows everything about it. Have you be honest and say, Jody, I'm going through something right now, and it's encouraging to know that my shepherd knows all about it. If that's you, would you raise your hand in this auditorium? Yes, yes, many hands, many hands. Isn't it a blessing to know that he knows? He knows, and he cares. And by the way, right before I pray, if you're away from the Lord, you may not even know what danger you're in. But may I say to you, he's looking for you. He wants you to come back. Come back and stay close to him so you won't be taken down by the predator. Thank God you're still a sheep, even when you stray. But safety comes in closeness to him. Our Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you'll help and bless and direct in everything that's said and done. Encourage us with this and help us as we continue with this in the days that lie ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher, you want me to go ahead and dismiss? Okay, I want to go ahead and dismiss.